99.1 SHAP Radio, KLCT LP, Lubbock, Texas, LCU student run station, and the home of Lady SHAP and Chaparral Athletics. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the LCU Coaches Show on 99.1 FM and ShapRadio.com, and of course on demand on the LCU podcast. Hi everyone, I'm Brendan Riker. I'll be your host this evening. Joining us is head baseball coach Nathan Blackwood. Coach, how are you today?
I'm good. I'm trying to dodge this rain with some practices, but we can't ever complain about rain around here, so we'll take it.
Now, we are blessed with rain. Now, how does the rain kind of affect practices moving forward through this week?
Yeah, you know, today is normally our longer day where we scrimmage and do PFPs, BP, the whole works. So we'll just be inside today, which limits us on what we can do, but we'll try to get as much good work in as possible. We've got a good indoor facility. It's just not great for, you know, a lot of defensive work.
Well, Coach, let's start by mentioning that the latest American Baseball Coaches Association poll has the Chaparrals ranked 10th in the country. How big of a deal is it to have your team recognized by coaches across the country as a top 10 team in the nation?
Yeah, the national polls are good, you know, just from a recruiting standpoint and just recognition for our players. But, you know, they don't mean anything. There's three different polls that most people respect, and I think all three of them have us ranked now, so that's a good thing. But you know, the RAC is what really matters, and that doesn't start until a couple weeks from now when we start doing the regional rankings, and that's what everyone looks at to get into a regional.
So usually these polls don't have much bearing on, I mean, the regional rankings that come out later in the season.
Correct. They have zero bearing. You know, the regional rankings later are based on seven different categories that the numbers are starting to get posted, and you can kind of look at those. But based on an RPI, strength of schedule, record against teams 500 or better, a power index, there's all kinds of different categories there that the RAC will use, which is Regional Advisory Committee is what that RAC stands for, and that starts soon. But yeah, national polls are great for just recognition and recruiting and publications, and you know, we certainly want to be in there, but I wish it had more bearing than it does.
Well, one thing that is really big right now is if you look at last year's team and you look at prior to the St. Edward series, which we're coming up on this week, your team last year at that point was 22-16, 20-16 in LSC play. Right now, your squad is 27-11 and 26-10 in conference play, and on track to surpass last year's win total. You know, how big has it been to see the Chaparrals, you know, go throughout the season that way that they have as compared to last year?
Yeah, I've been, you know, certainly pleased with how we've been playing, especially on the road. You know, we've got to do the same thing at home. And that's where, you know, we put ourselves in a bind early in the season with a couple of series at home that I thought we should have won, and we split and lost one of those, you know, those two series. So yeah, after that, I think we've done a really good job of winning the games that we should win. And then, you know, even trying to, you know, sneak up and win some games that on paper don't look like they're games we should win. So, but that's the Lone Star Conference, and you know, it's all about that guy on the mound and moving forward and trying to match up and battle out and try to get some W's.
16-4 on the road. That's the record for the Chaparrals this season. Better than the home record, obviously. You'd like to see that be a little better, but what has been the approach for this team? And we'll get into this upcoming, this last road series, but what has been the approach and focus in these road trips?
Yeah, that's a good question, because you're right. I think our toughest opponents have been on the road too, and we have a better record on the road. So not sure exactly what it is that we're doing different. I know, you know, part of it is our park is a tough place to pitch, and you know, it seems like we pitch better on the road. But at the same time, we hit better at home. So, you know, who knows? But we need to figure that out and bottle it if we can and try to bring it home with us.
The Chaparrals are coming off a four-game road series at Texas A&M Kingsville, and the Chaps earned a four-game sweep against the Javelinas. Coach, let's start by that long extra inning affair that went down on Thursday. LCU beat Kingsville 13-11 in 13 innings. Shea Bowen hit the go-ahead two-run homer in the top of the 13th. A lot of good performances, a lot of impressive performances in this one. But how important was it to find a way to win that one and set the tone for the rest of the series?
Yeah, it was huge, especially, and both teams were in the same boat there. We were both throwing our best bullpen guy there in the extra innings, and both of us were planning on starting him the next day if he didn't get used up that night. So it was almost like once you get to that point, you have to win that game. Now, the disappointing thing was we felt like we should have won it in regulation, and we kind of gave it back to them. We had a lead for the most part, I think the entire game until whenever we gave up the lead in the ninth. But yeah, they, at that point, we went to Chris Scholl, and he really shut them down for, I think, four-plus innings with eight strikeouts maybe. And then Shea, you know, their guy was doing the same thing, just matching strikeouts. It was really impressive on the mound both ways there. And then Shea got a hold of one and put us up, and we held on to it.
In that ninth inning, the Chaparrals put up four runs in the top of the ninth, but then Kingsville put up two runs in the bottom of the ninth, a score off of two different wild pitches. You put in reliever Chris Scholl, and Kingsville at one point had the bases loaded with only one out, and then they line out, and then it turns into a double play, turn two, and Scholl stays on the mound for the rest of the game after getting out of the ninth and keeping the game tied, and ends up getting the win, does not allow a run on the mound in relief. What can you say about the resilience and the no-quit attitude that was displayed by your team in that moment?
Yeah, that was big. You know, extra inning games are really hard to win on the road, and that's always been, you know, everybody knows that. You know, the home team has a huge advantage in an extra inning game, just how you line things up and your strategy and how you use your closer. And so for our guys to, you know, after giving up, you know, a couple runs in the bottom of the ninth, which was a huge disappointment, we thought we should have won that game right then, for them to just, you know, stay in it and to battle through and pull out a W in the 13th inning, I think, and it was a huge tone setter for the series.
Aiden Alger had a quality start, 6 innings, 7 hits, 3 runs, and 9 strikeouts. You talked about pitchers matching strikeouts, but what did you see from Aiden as he rebounded from a tough outing two Thursdays ago against Texas A&M International?
Yeah, he was really good for us, and you know, we trust him on the mound. He's that's the reason he throws game one. He's a competitor, and he had it. You're right. He had a much better outing against Kingsville than he did the week before against International, and we just got to, you know, we felt bad for him because we felt like we should have held on in the ninth and won that game and have him be the pitcher of record and get the win. But still proud of him for coming through.
Looking at the doubleheader on Friday, game two of the series, he went 15-10, and a lot of different bats had were shown in this one. Multiple guys with multiple hits, multiple RBI performances, and none other than Johnny Gomez, who had 5 at-bats, 2 hits, 5 RBI in the game. What did you see in that game against Kingsville?
Yeah, our hitters were big, you know, and Ryan Marquardt started that game on the mound, and he was good too. He just got tired there towards the end, and we couldn't get him out of there quick enough. But I thought our bats were really good. Johnny, you mentioned him. He came in a couple big situations and got behind in the count both times, and then ended up hitting a home run and I think both of those at bats, which is where he got the five RBIs, and he was big for us. And we went to some arms to try to save our top end relievers, so to speak, and gave up some runs there late and made it close and made it interesting. But overall, I think I felt like we dominated that game and got us in better position to go win the series the next game.
So after the first two games of this series, both teams finished both of those two games in double figures. Then we get to game three of this series, the second game of the DH on Friday. And that was a 4-3 win, a low scoring affair. But you win that low scoring affair against Kingsville. What did you see in that one?
Yeah, that was a completely different game than the game right before it. Again, their guy on the mound did a really good job with our hitters, and Ryan Chris Rhodes for us did a great job just keeping it close and competing. And he had a way better outing than he did the week before, so that was good to see out of him. The biggest thing that stood out in that game to me, though, was, you know, in the ninth inning, or the seventh inning, since it was a doubleheader. They've got first and third with two outs, and their guy just crushes a ball to center field. When the ball leaves the bat, I thought we just lost. You know, we knew that guy at first was going to score on that hit if we don't catch it. And Hayden Blair, our center fielder, just makes an absolute great play on that ball. It's straight over his head. He sprints back, catches it right at the wall, and just, you know, basically gives up his body to catch that ball and hits the wall hard as soon as he does. Nobody knows if he's caught it or not. He picks up his, you know, he tosses the ball out of his glove, and all of a sudden the umpire makes an out call, and we won. It was as close as you can get to a walk off on defense, you know, that you can have, and it was fun to see.
And offensively in this game, I mean, no one had multi-hit game. You had a couple guys with some runs batted in, but no matter what, you find a way to be on top of this one and finish again. You know, usually when games are like that, headed to, you know, the last frame for the home team, it's the away team's sort of at a disadvantage because there's the opportunity for a walk-off and not another chance to get back in it. I guess, again, going back to resiliency, how big was it to win the series at that moment?
Yeah, that was big, and especially, like I said, the way that we did it, that was huge, you know. Again, when the ball leaves the bat, you think the game's over and they're going to walk off on us. And for him to just go back there and just make a highlight reel play, you know, I wish they had better video coverage of it because it was really a great catch. And it was fun to see and got our guys really excited. And we won the series right there. And we knew going into that we had a chance of a sweep the next day.
And of course, the icing on the cake was next day, Saturday, the series finale. It was a pretty handled win, 10-4. Not a lot of resistance from Kingsville. They score four different times, but they don't put up any crooked numbers in this outing. But the Chaparrals do. I mean, three runs in the second, two in the third, two in the fifth, and all en route to a 10-4 victory to get another Lone Star Conference sweep. You know, how tough is it to get a sweep in this league and then get it against a top 10 team in the Lone Star on the road?
Yeah, we talked a lot about that, and you know, a team that's going to be above 500 in their record as well. That night, you know, right after we had won the series, we immediately started talking about how hard it is to sweep somebody, especially in this league, and that we've got to come in the next day and set a tone early. And I was really proud of our guys for doing that. I think we scored in the first inning as well. And then, like you said, put up a couple crooked numbers. And that, you know, that just kind of deflated them right away, and then we just continued to pour on. We had some guys go down with injuries. I was a little worried about how that was going to affect our mentality, but, you know, it was next guy up mentality, and they just kept going, and really proud of what they've accomplished this weekend.
We talked about Johnny, and we talked about Bowen, but is there any other chaparrals in your mind that stood out to you offensively?
Yeah, you know, Nate Van Manen had a better weekend at the plate. He'd been really struggling offensively, and it was good for him to kind of break out and do some things well. Carson Ogilvie, of course, was big for us all weekend. You know, with Jared Gibson going down and Ryan Ball going down, we didn't have either one of them in game four, so that was a tough blow. They should be back and fine. It looks like this next weekend, X-rays all look good, so we're glad to see that. You know, Chavez, we didn't even get to take him with us because he's still on that hamstring injury. He should be back this weekend. Gutierrez didn't go with us either with hand surgery. He should be back in a few weeks, so we were banged up going into that and then got worse while we were there. So I was just really proud of guys coming off the bench like Rhett Clark, Johnny Gomez. We even Danny Womack, a redshirt freshman, we took him. He made a great defensive play for us in that extra inning game. And just, you know, again, the depth that we've talked about all year kind of showed through this weekend, and I was proud of that.
Talking with LCU head baseball coach Nathan Blackwood here on the LCU Coaches Show. Looking ahead to this week, it's the St. Edward's Hilltoppers. And last year, you know, they're a team that climbed into the top five in the country. You go to Austin last year, split with them, play against them in San Angelo when the LSC tournament beat them, and then fall to them in the first round of the NCAA tournament. So, saw these guys a lot. What do you know about them this year?
Yeah, it's really scary because it's the same team almost from last year, and they were I think they were second in the conference last year and ahead of us in the regional, and then they ended our season in the regional, and it's a lot of the same guys. So they haven't been able to put it together as much this year and win as many games, but that's what makes them scary, is because they're very capable, and we know that. And we've got to, you know, we're hoping they don't put it all together this weekend and have a great weekend against us. But we just know that they're good, and it's going to be a battle just for us to win a series again.
Who do you got to look out for this St. Edward's team?
Well, Granick is their number one. Their right-handed pitcher who's been there, I think this is his fifth year with a COVID year, and he's always been good. We've always been able to compete against him, and he's beat us. We beat him. It's kind of been back and forth, but he'll start the Friday night game. The big one though is Lance Little, who's one of the top hitters in the league, has been hurt most of this year, and he just came back last weekend, and I'm sure he's just going to start getting into a groove, and he's been out most of the year, but we'll see him this weekend for sure.
So now this series, for the first time in a while, you have a series instead of starting on Thursday, it'll start on Friday. So series openers on Friday, doubleheader Saturday, series finale on Sunday. Does that kind of change how y'all have approached things with it being moved up? Which, of course, throughout the season, you know, it's been regular and normal for series to start on Friday. But does that kind of change anything?
No, it doesn't. Our prep this week is the same as normal, other than, you know, that we're not outside today. But we're planning on Friday, Saturday, Sunday every weekend except for the Easter weekend. We just got moved around for weather. So it actually gives us an extra day of rest for our starting pitchers. And but we don't go into it any different other than just how we set up the prep for this week.
What do you want to see from the Chaparrals here in this series against the Hilltoppers?
Well, you know, we got to win game one, and that's, you know, the old cliche, one game at a time, but that's so true. We got to just go out there and see what we can do about competing Friday night. Their guy's really good, Granick. It'll be against Granick versus Alger once again, so it'll be a competitive night, and we just got to go out and try to execute and do what we can to win game one.
Coach, before we go, do you have anything else you would like to share with Shap Nation?
Yeah, it's Military Appreciation Weekend for us, our veterans. So we've got some cool things set up to honor our veterans and all of our military. So it should be a fun weekend for that. And weather looks good, so hoping to see a lot of Shap Nation out there.
Well, Coach, thank you so much for your time, and good luck this weekend.
You bet. Thank you.
That was head baseball coach Nathan Blackwood of the LCU Chaparrals. Thank you for tuning into this episode of the LCU Coaches Show. We unfortunately will not have head softball coach Darren Hayes on today, as his team was/is in Lawton yesterday and today for a series at the Cameron Aggies. So we will look forward to getting him on the show next week. Again, be sure to come out to Hayesville this weekend to catch the series against the St. Edward's Hilltoppers starting this Friday. Lady Shap softball will also be at home hosting a top 25 team in Angelo State. So come out to Maynard Park, come out to Hayesville to support LCU Athletics. As always, you can hear the show every Tuesday at 8 p.m. on Shap Radio and on demand on the LCU podcast. You'll have a good night and God bless from Lubbock. We'll see you next week and keep listening here for more great hits on 99.1 Shap Radio.